The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green on Dublin City FM. Fridays, 3 p.m. The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
We're at 3.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show for Friday, 8th of April, with me, Brian Green.
And me, Peter Donegan. How are you, Brian?
I'm good this week.
Yeah, it's nice. Being beautiful weather outside, actually, now that I think about it.
18s to 20s, maybe even top 20.
Yeah, but I'm still halfway between wearing, you know, the shorts and bringing out the umbrella. I'm still one of them, which leads us actually very nicely onto where we want to go today, because today we're doing an electric picnic special. And for those who were there last year, they will remember that the Friday, the Saturday and the Sunday day were absolutely sparkling.
And why a special on the picnic?
Well, sorry, no, I want to backtrack on that, because what happened Sunday evening was the weather changed, which brings me back to my shorts and my umbrella. But the electric picnic special, I don't know. There's something when you take 30,000 people over the course of one weekend where they must eat, sleep, drink, feed, and you make it all green and you make it fashionable to be green for that particular weekend, I think there's something nice in there, real nice, positive, to be very, very honest with you, that maybe we could all take a little something out of. I just felt it was worthwhile to just break the regularity on the show and make it something a little bit different.
Okay, so we have an interview for you, but before that, a teaser. Who is headlining Electric Picnic this year? No prizes.
Alphabetically headlining.
Alphabetically. No prizes. Don't text. Just think about it and we'll tell you at the end of the show.
So on the line I have Davy Phillip. Davy, how are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
Davy, you're involved with Electric Picnic, and which is partly the reason I have you on the show, because I'm a little bit of a fan, and me and Electric Picnic have history together. But you're... side of it is the green side of it. Is that a fair apt description?
Yeah, I work with Cultivate, which is a living and learning organization that focus on sustainability and green jobs and community resilience. And we had the opportunity of working with POD to create a new area at the picnic called Global Green, which brought together different strands that were all over the picnic, really, around justice and greening, and things that might have been seen as probably a bit boring on their own, but brought together and sort of worked up into an exciting and dynamic area. Mm. So for 4 years now, we've had the Global Green at the Electric Picnic, and for the last 2 years, working with Green Crafts to create and Bin Your Empties to create a green section, if you like, at the Electric Picnic.
The one thing that I think most people will identify with is the recyclable plastic cup that is down there. I think it's the €3 deposit charge, isn't it?
Yeah, the Eco Cup has been a big winner, really, across festivals everywhere. A nice, easy idea. You have not a disposable, but you have someone that lasts a long time. And that, you know, if you see one lying around, it's like seeing €3 lying around. You're going to pick it up. So it gets everyone doing the litter pickup. So fantastic and simple approach, really, that... that we need to be doing more of, really.
Yeah, I noticed when I was down there, I think my second year down there in particular, I noticed people kind of saying, come on, hurry up and finish your drink, it's your round, you know what I mean? And there was a little bit of a flurry to get the four cups together so that somebody didn't get stung for an extra €3. But I think when I was talking around with some of the lads saying that I was going to have you on the Sod Show, I think some of the people were kind of saying to me, hey, listen, can you ask them about this green tent thing and what's the story with that? Because my friends seem to be 50-50 on leaving the tent behind, and they were saying to me, you know, don't be worrying about it, the scouts are one of those groups, come along, they clean them up and they go off to charity. Is that the case or is that not the case? There's a fiver of a bet on here with somebody over this.
No, it's an urban myth, I think, that, and it maybe was the case at some festival at some time, but it's never been the case for the picnic, that the scouts were going to collect your tents and take them to Africa. It's the last thing that Africans need is a cheap tent from the Electric Picnic, you know. So that is a big problem with all festivals now, is the amount of stuff that's left behind. So if you were betting for the scouts taking away. You've lost your fiver. If you haven't, then you've won a fiver. But definitely, those tents are, if they're left or everything that's left currently, there's plans to try and salvage them and reuse them, but are currently landfilled.
Ah, so if people really want to do the entire one weekend to get out of the office and turn into Flowers in Your Hair 1970 San Francisco, the answer is invest in one tent, buy wisely, and bring it back with you.
I think this is not just the festivals. It's a change in culture that we had at the peak of the Celtic Tiger, that people could just afford to just throw a tent away, or you know, just leave everything they took to the festival. It was that disposable culture. I think we're entering a time where there'll be a sort of reemergence of thrift and, you know, reusing things. So yeah, a good tent that you can use a few times a year is a good investment. You know, don't just leave it at the picnic. So what the picnic have been doing over the last number of years is big signs on the campsite saying, your tents aren't going anywhere, please take your stuff home. They're not going to Africa, and trying to communicate that message within the programming and in posters on the campsites, just dispelling that myth.
Inebriation is potentially a good excuse for not seeing those signs, possibly,
yeah,
Davey.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course,
Dave.
Yeah.
One more thing from myself before I pass you over to Brian. I, a couple of years ago, ended up with a 33-foot pleasure cruise boat that was painted very bright pink. It ended up finding a home, thanks to John and Co, in Electric Picnic, and has been there for some time. And although it wasn't painted pink in years by, I think as we were chatting yesterday, again, the one thing that came out of it, and that I realised from being down at Electric Picnic as just your average guest, was that it's not just me who's got that kind of a story behind. There are so many people who have that oddball bit of a, and I if that's an insult, then I insult myself, but it's more a compliment. They have that oddball bit of a story where they go, hey, let's do something a bit green and different for Electric Picnic. What and how do you feel the green scene has evolved in the last 4 odd years since you've been there, in particular to the art side of it?
It's a good question. I think the strength of the Electric Picnic over other festivals is it brings together the creatives and the artists and the oddballs, as you call them.
Yeah.
You know, it brings together the communities of artists and storytellers and musicians and activists into an environment where we collaborate, engage, and play over the weekend together. And that's a strength more than just going to consume the music and the beer and the food that is available. That everyone in the Electric Picnic is, or a lot of the people are contributors, like you were with your big pink boat. You know, there's people there that might be in the minefield and telling stories in a tent, and then they're up sharing an idea up at Global Green. And that, I think that's the strength, is this bringing the different collectives and communities from around Ireland together and celebrating the sort of radical or leading edge culture that we have here.
Dave, could you give me an example of what you believe is probably the most oddball green story that you've had take place down in Electric Picnic?
Well, there'd be so many things that you stumble across, and I think that's the beauty of a music festival of this nature, is that you stumble across things. You encounter something in the middle of the night that you weren't expecting, you know. So from, I don't know, grass elephants, which were near us one year, a whole field of elephants, to someone that I saw last year, which hardly anyone saw because it was in the kids' area and you needed a special pass, but I was taken in to see this. In an area, a walled garden in the Electric Picnic, an arts collective, a community arts collective, were given the environment to create a sort of dynamic play theatre experience for children. So they were given an overgrown walled garden that was, you know, they had to clear away the rhododendrons and the brambles to create these spaces. And it was a magical journey with actors and spaces and trees decorated. I've never seen anything like it. And the look on the kids' faces as they went through this journey, not knowing where they were going through this environment that was created in the walled garden, you know, so artistic, so creative, and yet so powerful, because the message was about, you know, how wasteful we are, or the impact we're having on the planet. So little things like that, which, yeah, they're hardly even in the program, but if you were lucky enough to stumble across them, and there's examples everywhere. Of course, the biggest and the most impressive in the Electric Picnic is the Body and Soul area. That is a magical wonderland to go in there. You're not expecting it, and it's just like escaping the reality of the world and going into this magical world. You know, things like that is what makes Electric Picnic.
Davey, Brian Green here. I'm the gardening novice, and I'm also a picnic virgin. It must be a logistical nightmare bringing so many people to one place. And from the point of view of, let's say, water in and water out, what pressures are you under to keep it green?
Well, that's a really good question, Brian. I mean, the festival 2 or 3 years ago, the pod brought together people from the different areas, so the Body and Soul area, Bin Your Empties, the Global Green Hour area. And we developed with them a strategy for moving the festival towards being more sustainable. So it looked at a number of things, exactly what you've just said there. You looked at what we can do around energy, waste. How can the traders be forced to use compostable materials or you know, have less waste? How can the construction or the paints used, how can we try and ensure that they're low VOC and less impact? The transport, which you highlighted there, how do we encourage people not just to drive their car, or if they are driving their car, to use the car share system or to fill their car with people and maybe incentivize that? Or better, don't bring the car, come in the train or the buses and lay in on buses to facilitate that. But there's also things, and what I think is the most important part of greening the festival, there's always going to be an impact in a music festival. It's really difficult to do it. We can move towards minimizing the amount of generators, using LED lighting instead of high energy lighting. But the big thing around greening a festival is using the festival as an environment to communicate the messages in a creative and fun way that that make it almost an experience where you can go away from the festival after having a great weekend, but there's a few seeds of new ideas planted in your head about things that you might do that could save you money around energy or reduce your waste bills. And in a wide range, you know, I'm just using energy and waste because that's what people think when they think green, but really there is so many fantastic ideas in that environment of the Electric Picnic that people will come away with probably new ideas for, you know, writing a book or making a film, as well as reducing their impact on the environment.
It sounds very democratic that you got together with people and listened to their needs and, you know, reflections, and then put in train this program of greening the festival, and that it peaks around the festival time when the audience is there to get that message out. Do you get that message out in advance on the build up and beyond the festival? Do people kind of stay? Does the community, you know, listen to any kind of focal point? Is there any forums or blogs or places to go?
Yeah, the festival does a really good souvenir program, which has a big green section in it, that, and Body and Soul have a big section in it. So a lot of the different collectives or initiatives that have been present there will be, you're able to go and find them and, you know, send an email to them. So that's one way. In the lead up, a lot of the website would have, you know, reduce energy and driving. So there's a whole section on the website about how to be more sustainable around transport to get to the picnic, facilitating the car share on the website, these sort of things. So there's a couple of ways of doing it before and after the actual festival.
Davey, we touched on it earlier on, and you were saying that you're 4 years working with EP. You were also saying to me that there's a 5-year plan in place. I was talking with a good friend of mine. We were saying, if you remember it, the FELA, I think it was the first festival that Ireland really ever had.
Yeah, and Trip to Tip.
The Trip to Tip, that's the one, for those born pre-1980 in particular. But I remember, like, being told the stories that place was just like a landfill afterwards. No disrespect to anybody, but it was the time, I think that's fair to say. Can I ask you a double whammy question here? How far do you think it's come, I suppose, since something like the trip to TIP to where you are or even the 4 years ago? And second of all, how do you see and where do you see the next 4 or 5 years and how Electric Picnic is or may potentially change for the better?
Good question. I think that if you went back in time to those failas, those trip to tips, and saw the setup there, it would just look like a few tents in a field. What you have now in these modern festivals, like the Electric Picnic or Glastonbury now, is a full different environment, a different world that you're in for the 3 days you're down there. And I suppose we've caught up with ourselves, or we've become much more aware about how to do toilets better, how to provide energy on site better, how to, you know, set up stages better, move people around and make sure people are safe. We're much better doing that now. So I think that society's just evolved along with these sort of festivals. I mean, I was at Glastonbury last year. I went up to the highest point and I looked down, and that's 4 square miles, I think, of a city that is there for a week. You know, ridiculous amounts of energy used. And I question whether it will be sustainable. I think a festival of the scale of the Electric Picnic is much more sustainable. It's still big now, but when people say, oh, but 40,000 people drive into one event in the country, this happens every week at Croke Park. 80,000 people drive down or travel down across to Dublin from all over the country for a big match. So I don't think that it is 35,000-40,000 people, that the scale of it is a really good scale for a big festival. I think the future of festivals personally are much smaller, decentralized, low energy, collaborative, community-based festivals. I think that's really where the future is. And the Electric Picnic is the closest to having a national festival that brings together the different collectives to collaborate on having 3 days of a good time, you know.
Can I ask you, Dave, I see a lot of ladies in Electric Picnic, as one should. However, the impression I get from some of the ladies attending is that it's almost a little bit, you know, I'm in the gymnasium and I'm in the office and I'm selling stocks and shares. I'm generalizing here very much across the board, and I might order out for Chinese. But as soon as I hit Electric Picnic, I'm going to be the hippie. I'm putting flowers in my hair. I'm wearing my green wellies and I look all feng shui. Do you find that that's the case yourself, and that maybe when these ladies, I say the ladies, I'm not being disrespectful, I'm sure there's fellas like that as well, but do you find that when you come down you can kind of go, oh, there's another one? Or do you find that when they come back the next year, do you find it's almost like an evolution of man starting all over again? Because as you said, there is this kind of underlying tone of greening up. And again, like Brian is the EP virgin, he's never been. Do you find that you can spot the newbies coming in and maybe see this evolutionary change over a couple of year period?
Well, Electric Picnic has got a sort of unique audience. It's not the Tea in the Park, Oxygen-type festival of just people, young people getting absolutely out of their face. There's all sorts of people there. It's like Glastonbury. You see grandparents there with the grandkids, all sorts of people. And I think it's an opportunity to get out of your normal everyday environment and to be creative and to let go a little. You know, that's, I think, the purpose of a festival, is to have a different environment, to have a altered state, if you like, without any enhancements, but just to have an environment that facilitates that difference. So people going down there and being creative and dressing up, and it's not like just going to a gig in the Point or the O2. It's something different about that environment. It's a different way of life for a couple of days. So does it, as you ask, is it something that they continue when they go back? Probably not, but it's a taster of a different way of living. You know, you're close to the land, you're camping. Think of the environmental impact that you're not having by not putting your hairdryer on, watching 6 hours of TV, and doing all the things that you do in your normal environment. You come down to Stradbally Estate, a wonderful estate, for 3 days, and you're not consuming all that energy, you're not consuming all that, creating all that waste. You know, I think there's something in that that people forget when they're looking at just the impact of the festival is, what is the impact that these people are having in their normal everyday life?
I think Peter
and the
gets,
amount of energy they're saving.
I think Peter gets excited with the amount of people wearing wellies. It's not the ladies at all. Gardeners seeing all these Wellington boot clad people.
Yeah, that really yeah. does it for me, Brian.
Peter's welly fetish.
Davey, can I ask you, on the green scene, the body and soul area, is there? Do you have an idea of what's already in plan for September? Can you give people a taster of what they might be able to see or what to look out for?
Well, I don't know about Body and Soul's plans, but I know from knowing the organisers that it's going to be unbelievable and even more magical. For Global Green and Green Crafts, it's going to be really being about positive, being positive in these troubled times. So the messaging will be all about the opportunities and a big focus on collaboration, doing more together. You know, I think the Celtic Tiger was an example of hyper-individualism, and the opportunity coming out of that is for us to collaborate and do more together. And you're seeing it from your end, from the rising community gardens and the yeah. grow-it-yourself movement. Do more for ourselves, do more together, and be positive. Let's finish the blame game, the begrudgery, and actually look at the future in a way that gets us excited and we see the opportunities that these challenges that we're facing currently are offering.
Get down to Electric Picnic over the September weekend is what I say, and just let yourself go entirely.
Great. We'll see you down there then.
Appreciate it, Davey. Thank you so much for your time.
Brilliant, Pierre. Brilliant, Brian.
One more thing. If people want to get in touch or people want to find out more, do you have websites or...
Electric Picnic website. Just Google Electric Picnic. It'll take you straight to it. And Cultivate is at cultivate.ie. And our big program right now is Greenworks. We're now training unemployed people into the green economy. So renewable energy, organic production principles, ecotourism. You'll get that all on our website, cultivate.ie.
Davey Phillip, thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hey! a dream. Between the click of the light and the start of the dream. Between the click of the light and the start of the dream.
103.2 Dublin City FM, Arcade Fire, No Car Go, Arcade Fire, headlining Electric Picnic, September 2011 in Stradbally. I wonder, did you get our teaser?
And a huge thanks to Davey Phillip for that. Thanks, Davey, for taking the time to talk to us. On next week's show, we do, of course, have a super, absolutely super camping special. All of the things you need to get yourself through the great outdoors festival that is Electric Picnic. And should you wish to take that camping a little bit of a stage further.
Yes, an interesting point there. If you don't want to have a disposable tent and you're going to do something a little bit more sustainable, find out on next week's show about what you can be getting in the line of camping that's going to last you a camping lifetime.
Any thoughts, comments and suggestions on how you might green up your weekend away, be it electric or other, don't be afraid to give us a shout and let us know what you'd think.
103.2, that's all for this week's show. Don't forget you can check out the blog.
That's blog.donneganlandscaping.com. Scroll down to categories and hit the podcast section. You'll also get us on iTunes. Just search for Sod Show, all one word.
And on Twitter, it's the hashtag #SodShow. I bet you're blind.